Commence this. We can commence this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. In commencing the meeting, it's appropriate that I acknowledge on behalf of the Council the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, the elders past, present, and emerging. In commencing these meetings, and for the benefit of the public, it is appropriate that us panel members introduce ourselves, and we will proceed to do that now. I'm David Lloyd. I chair this meeting. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, and I'm currently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. All right. Miss Morrell. Is Miss Morrell there?
She's muted, I think.
Well, while we're waiting for her, Mr. Hawke.
My name's Ken Hawke, and I'm the community representative on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West for over 45 years. And I have prior to my retirement, I had a 40-year career in local government planning.
Thank you. Ms. Truman?
Hello, my name is Lisa Truman. I'm a principal heritage advisor. I have a background in architecture, been working in heritage for several decades. I have, including 15 years in local government and also in the private sector.
And finally, Miss Morrell.
Yes, I am not muted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good, thank you. Jan Morrell, over 40 years experience as a town planner. My last position before retirement was commissioner with the Land and Environment Court. Previous to that, I held senior positions at local government and state government. And currently, I am on a number of local panels as well as the state Sydney Eastern panel. Thank you.
All right, so the next item is declarations of interest, and there are none. So with that, we can now proceed to the various individual items on the agenda, the first of which is the proposed development at 477 King Street, Newtown. We have one registered speaker here, Mr. Peter Brooks. Is Mr. Brooks online?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Brooks, we have read the written submission of Andy Ludvick, and I can tell you that we agree with it.
Thank you.
So that means we are prepared to consent to this development.
Thank you very much.
Do you have anything to add?
I had nothing to add apart from the minor ADG alleged non-compliances. If you would like me to go through them and it would affect the outcome, then I will, but otherwise I'm happy to accept.
Those non-compliances are minor and are acceptable to the panel.
Thank you.
Are you content with the draft conditions of consent?
Yes.
We propose a couple of minor alterations to those. First of all, prior to the occupation certificate, we require evidence to be provided showing that the land zoned SP2 at the rear has been transferred to the council free of charge. Are you happy with that?
Yes, we're happy with that.
And the other minor amendment is that the strata plan has to be amended to exclude the area zoned SP2. It's at present shown on the strata plan as being part of the common property. That change to be made.
No problem, Mr. Chairman. That was an error.
Well, if you have nothing else to say, I can say that the panel will formally, in due course, issue a determination granting consent to this application, subject to the recommended conditions with those two minor amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the members of the panel.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item is 41 Mackenzie Street, Leichhardt. This is the demolition of an existing carport roof at the rear facing a laneway and construction of a new symmetrical gable roof and enclosure of the carport. It's been recommended for approval, and I understand that the architect is available to deal with any questions. Mr. Lachlan, am I correct? Is anyone here on behalf of the applicant for Mackenzie Street?
Lachlan Shelley.
No, if not.
Lachlan Shelley is in the room, Chair.
I am here, Chair, but I'm here in relation to item six, so not in relation to this matter.
All right. Are you the same architect for both?
No, I'm an objector in relation to item six and adjoining property of a DA, which is number six.
All right, so we'll get to that shortly. So there being no speakers on item two, we can move to item number three. This is 11 Cambridge Street, Enmore, change of use to a dwelling with home office. No one is registered to speak. Is there anyone here who has an interest in that matter? It's been recommended for approval. No one. All right, the panel is quite happy with this. It's an acceptable change of use to a dwelling from a previous industrial use and is quite acceptable. So we can move straight on to item four. This is going quickly. Item four is 78 Stanmore Road. This is to demolish part of the premises of an existing terrace house and construction of a new garage with terrace fronting the side street. Again, no one is registered to speak on item four. It is recommended for approval. Is anyone here having an interest in that matter? If not, then that will be approved as recommended, there being no objections to it, and it being otherwise satisfactory. So now we can move on to 745 Darling Street, Roselle, item number five. I understand that there are two people who wish to speak on that matter. Is Catherine Sawyer there?
Yes.
And before you commence is Arani Nirmithan.
Arani Nirmithan, yes, I'm here also.
Oh, good. Well, you are objecting to this proposed modification. I have to tell you that the panel has had a careful look at this and is prepared to reject the application, principally on the grounds raised by the objectors, but we are far from happy with it. And our intention is to refuse it unless you are prepared to persuade us to the contrary.
No, Chairman, I would like to bring to your attention, though, as the neighbour, that without approval from this panel, that the amended changes are already underway, visibly able to be seen from the street. I do think that it's pertinent that a site visit be undertaken to ensure compliance with the DA. And also, there have been some changes made from the boundary wall to the extent that the foreman, Mr. Peter Nicker, did approach me to take down the common easement wall, which was not included in the original development application, and had indicated to me that he had taken 300 millimetres in from the boundary, reducing, therefore, the size of the garage and the plans further. So I do think it's important that compliance be reviewed, and I am concerned that the changes have already been underway.
Well, I have to tell you that the applicant has to comply with the approved development. I would expect that inspections will be made in due course from time to time to ensure that that is so. But as I've said, the application for modification will be refused.
We appreciate that.
Okay. So with that, we can move on to item number 7.
I'm the architect for number 5.
Are you're
Michael Fox.
Oh, you're Mr. Fox. Yes. All right. Okay.
This is quite surprising because the report recommended approval.
Yes, we don't agree with it.
Oh, okay. Could I ask on what grounds?
Various grounds, but principally we aren't happy with the relocation of the common room to what is essentially a stairwell on the ground floor. And the common room should be, in our view, adjacent to the common open space area where it presently exists on the upper floor. That is at present a satisfactory arrangement. What you propose now is entirely an unsatisfactory arrangement.
About the common room. Okay, so I understand. So it's about the common room, so you'll send advice accordingly, will you?
Can I just ask the architect as to why they made that, they proposed such a change?
Well, the common room was always at the ground floor. We were not the original architects. We modified the original application, which was approved, and we created a larger open space at the second floor level, but the common room stayed where it was, at ground floor, as it was from the beginning.
On level 2, previously it was proposed at level 2.
Yeah, there were 2. Originally there were 2. It was ground and first floor.
So on the original, the ground floor was where you've currently proposed the communal open space now, the communal room.
The common room, that's right, yes. And of course,
common room and deleted the communal area on the second level.
That's right, yes, but we put the open space on the second floor, and to have a common room there, I think that would probably trigger a lift, which would be quite a complication to this project.
Right, okay. So, the way the plan was shown was we had the that relationship between the private open space and the communal area on that proposed level 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no connection between any communal area and the private open space as it's shown now.
That's right. We showed the common area at ground level, which was immediately accessible at the entrance, and the open space is at the second floor.
And am I right in saying that it looks like the communal area is within the stair lobby, so to speak?
It's like an entry to a house where the stair comes out of that common space. Mm. The common area is an entry. It's a common area, and it gives direct access to the stair to the upper levels. And we believe it meets the sunlight requirements as well.
And I noticed on the plans, boarding room 5, as your proposed amendment shows, it's a large room. It has a large kitchen, and it says that it's for one lodger, whereas previously it was for 2 lodgers.
That's correct, because there is an area requirement, and we've got to modify those to meet the boarding house requirements for room sizes.
But in effect, it's got the largest kitchen and it's for one lodger. So if the kitchen was reduced, one would readily get 2 lodgers there.
Well, we could do it. Which room number is that, Jan?
Room 5.
Number 5. Okay, I'll need to check that. I haven't got that right with me. Yeah.
Again, I'd just like to raise concern as a resident that these changes have already been undertaken. And it's very visible to any passerby that this common area is essentially a dungeon. You can't imagine people communing there, relaxing there, having access to a window. It's backed up against a wall and it's very, very cramped.
We totally agree. We totally agree. That is why we are refusing this application.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Yes. Any other questions by the panel? Ms. Morrell, are you satisfied?
Well, that was some of the matters that I noticed on the plans, but I'm, as I said, I'm concerned about the common room being within that relatively confined space as opposed to a relationship with the private open space.
I have to say, for my part, I much prefer the original arrangement with the communal area adjacent to the private open space on level two.
And can we also clarify that the rooms won't have individual laundries and that we'll revert back to the common laundry area?
I don't know. The original plan remains the approved plan. We have rejected what is proposed now on this modification application.
Understood.
That is what we propose to do. Unless persuaded otherwise.
Yes, yeah, and I'd just like to hear if Mr. Fox would like to make any further comments to address our concerns as such, and whether in fact the other changes are quite remote from relocating the communal room.
Well, we're certainly prepared to reconsider that if the panel would prefer the common room to be at that level two. I think we then need to rethink the planning to resolve that, but I'd need to speak to our client about that.
All right, well, it's always open to you, Mr. Fox, to lodge an application for review after taking on board our comments.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, if there's nothing else, the determination will be to refuse this application. All right. So with that, we can move on to the next item, which is item number six, Addison Road, Marrickville. For Addison Road, Marrickville, we have two registered speakers. First of all is... this is an application for alterations and additions to an existing building and to use the upper levels as a boarding house. There are existing retail premises on the ground floor, and we have a request from two speakers on this. Firstly, Lachlan Shelley, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm the owner and occupier of 1 Agar Street, along with my wife and 8-month-old daughter, who are both here. And essentially, the entire street is opposed to this, but in the very truncated time available, all but 10 days we've been provided to provide a submission and register speakers to this panel. I'm the only one that's been able to manifest some time to actually put in our complaints around this submission. The proposal was first proposed back in September last year. Myself and a number of applicants provided detailed submissions around why there was issues around this. We heard nothing on the issue for 6 months. And then 2 weeks ago, heard that this panel was meeting and that the decision would be final. We had 5 days to put together submission. And I'd like to confirm that you actually have received my written submission on this.
Yes, we have your one-page submission.
Yes, thank you. My initial submission was much lengthier. It was about 12, 13 pages. And in that one page that I've provided you, I believe those are the key issues, but they are not limited to the issues we have with this.
You can assume that we've read your submission.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So maybe I'll just go through what our major concerns are with this proposal. I think first and foremost, we'd like to just make clear that, you know, we're not fundamentally opposed to the idea of a boarding house on this location. However, what we do take issue with is the inappropriate scale of what is being proposed here. The applicant is proposing to essentially cram 45 very likely vulnerable residents into 25 very small and cramped rooms as proposed. The only outdoor space that is contemplated in this plan is two balconies, one on the second level, one on the first level. Now, those two balconies overlook my house. Precisely the room behind me, the window behind me is exactly where it'll look in. It will also look in through my bathroom, my backyard, the front yard, and additional residents within the street. So there is, we believe, fundamental privacy concerns with what's being proposed. We also think the amount of space that is proposed for the number of people that are in that space, it's just not reasonable. And the likely impact is the residents from those from the boarding house are likely to spill out onto those areas, albeit there is a plan of management. We don't think it's enforceable, and likely to spill out onto the streets. So first and foremost, we do think there's a real issue with the density of what's being proposed here, particularly given that the report suggests that the residents will have access to a very limited bus service. There's only one bus service on Addison Road, the 428, and already that bus service is at breaking point in terms of capacity. The closest train station is Stanmore, it's over 1.2 kilometres away, uphill. It's not going to be accessible for potential people that may have accessibility issues there.
Sorry, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
The protocol governing these meetings allows members of the public to address the panel for up to 3 minutes. I should have reminded you of that, but I'll allow you to proceed if you can confine it to another minute.
Yes, I can. The other fundamental issue with the proposal is insufficient parking. The applicant is proposing a mere 5 parking spaces and 2 car share spaces for a total of up to 45 residents. One manager is proposed for the site. And in addition, there's already 5 existing retail tenancies on the bottom floor. Under the relevant development controls, a total of 19 spaces is required. So there's a fundamental lack of parking. Accessibility to parking is already a massive issue on our street. And there's a number of vulnerable people that have mobility issues and rely on that parking. In addition to that, the place behind me, as you can see, the proposed waste facilities will be less than 2 metres from my property here. So we request that the panel reject this proposal in its current form and engage in further consultation with the community that is opposed to it in its current form. Thank you, Chair and panel.
All right, thank you for that. Any questions by the panel? No questions?
I just have one. In terms of the plans, which windows are you concerned about specifically?
In my house?
In the development.
So I'm concerned with the location of the balconies, not the windows, the balconies. The two balconies are the only proposed outdoor communal space for this development. Those two balconies, one will be at a height of 10 metres plus. The other one will probably be about 5 metres plus. The only other space other than that is a car park, which is directly behind me. Now, they are north facing. They face over all the residents in Agar Street, and I am the adjoining property closest to this proposal.
Right, so at level one, it has a 1.1 metre high acoustic fence.
Yes.
And then also on level two, it has the same.
Yes. So that fence is not going to be sufficient for avoiding noise, in my view, given this is the only communal outdoor space for the large number of residents that are proposed to live in this place. I really think this comes back to the issue of the density and the sheer scale of this development. I may just add that the floor space ratio of this place is well above the recommended development control. It in fact exceeds it by over 35%. And given that the only communal outdoor space as proposed are these two balconies, I think it's very likely that the residents in this cramped space are likely to spend a lot of time outdoors. Therefore, I do query the enforceability of the plan of management that's been proposed that would supposedly limit people being able to go out there in certain hours. And I think a lot more needs to be done in terms of, preventing privacy and noise acoustic concerns here. I don't think a 1 meter buffer wall, a plant wall that has been proposed, is sufficient. I don't think an acoustic wall is sufficient. I think the bigger issue here is the density of what's being proposed.
Okay, so just getting back to it, it's not so much a privacy overlooking if you've got a 1.8 meter high acoustic fence.
If I may, I think that fence is only proposed to go around a part of the the balcony. It's not the entire length. I think if there was a wall around each balcony at that height, I think that would go some way to addressing our concerns. But again, I reiterate, the broader issue here is the density of what is being proposed here. This is a low density area. The street of Agar Street is largely it's families, and no one has off street parking. So coupled with the parking issue, I think you have to reject this proposal in its current form. I think there's fundamental issues with it.
On the question of the acoustic fence, there is also, in addition to that, inside the fence, there is a planter box and the landscaping plan shows planting within it, which would prevent people from moving right up against the fence. I would have thought that as far as privacy issues are concerned, there would be no impingement on your privacy.
Thank you for the comment, Chair. In relation to that comment, I would like just to raise the aspect and the height at which this balcony will be. Albeit there'll be a 1 meter plant box as proposed, that second balcony, and even to be honest, the first level balcony, from the angle at which they are going to be positioned, about 10 or so meters back from it's precisely where I'm sitting here, they will be able to see, albeit not looking straight down, but looking straight in to my bathroom, dining room, and backyard. In addition to my house, I believe they'll be able to look into other yards as well.
Well, I'll check that out. It doesn't seem right to me. I don't see it looking at the plans. I don't see how that's possible. Anyway, I'll check that out.
Yes, I think a site visit would be appropriate, Chair.
Now, are there any other questions, panel?
No.
Then we should hear from the applicant. Is Mr. Mead present?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Jeff Mead, Town Planning Consultant for the applicant. I'll keep my submission short. We have read the assessment report, concur with the assessment, the recommendations, but most importantly, the conditions of consent, which are recommended. So we don't seek any change to those. I'll try and assist the panel by dealing specifically with the issue that was raised by the objector. I think that's probably the best use of my time. In terms of that interface with the property to the north, that has been seen as a sensitive interface for the site, hence the way it's been dealt with in the design. As you rightly pointed out, Mr. Chair, on the common open spaces on the first and second levels, there's a combination of mitigation devices to guard against privacy impacts. Firstly, there's a 1.8 metre high acoustic fence. It was rightly pointed out that covers the eastern part of the northern face. and then that reduces down to a lower fence of 1.2 metres with the landscaping inside of it. Now, that was the product of the recommendations of the acoustic consultant for the applicant and was concurred with by council's environmental health officers that dealt with the acoustic issues. Having said that, if it were an issue that the panel felt needed more attention, the height of the fence on the western part of that northern face could in fact be increased. I would not suggest to 1.8 metres. I think that would have adverse impacts on the common open space itself, but there would be some scope to increase the height of that fence. I must point out that the northern edge of those common open spaces is in fact set back 12.5 metres from the common boundary with the neighbour's property. So when you look at setbacks and separation distances that you would apply to residential uses, 12.5 metres would meet any test in that regard. The common open spaces under the plan of management are limited in their hours of use. The acoustic consultant has recommended that they're not used after 10 p.m. That is tied up in the recommended conditions of consent, dealing with oral privacy. In terms of visual privacy, as was pointed out, there is a landscape strip around the edge, which is intended to have people back from the edge. So essentially, a resident would not be standing at the edge, peering over the fence. The landscape strip would have that person's view line set back from the edge. So we think that that's been dealt with through the design, the plan and management in terms of the use of that space. But as I said, if it gave some comfort to the panel, the height of the fence beyond the 1.8 metre acoustic barrier could be increased. I do have the applicant's traffic engineer here to answer any questions if they arise. You'll see there's a detailed assessment of the parking issues in the staff report. We obviously concur with that assessment. And I don't think that needs any detailed submission unless there's any questions. The last comment just pertains to the density.
Chair, that is 3 minutes.
Right. Yeah. As with the previous speaker, you may continue.
Sure, I'll just be very brief, Mr. Chair. In terms of the density, yes, there is a breach to the FSR control, though there is no change to the building envelope of the existing building on the site. It's a product of floor area being reconfigured within that building. So as you see, the central arguments to the Clause 4.6 variation request are that effectively this is an adaptive reuse of a building and its built form will not have any additional impacts on neighbouring properties. The use, of course, is changing, but we say that the plan of management, like any boarding house use, will have the ability to manage any of those impacts. And because of the number of residents within the boarding house, there will be an on-site manager. The room that will be occupied by the manager sits adjoining the common open space at level one. And so, again, we say that will have benefits in terms of the ability to manage that space in that the manager will literally be occupying space right next to the level one outdoor space. So like most boarding house proposals, yes, there is some onus on the manager to manage this boarding house properly, but as we've seen from experience, that is immensely possible. That's all I had to say, Mr. Chair, but more than happy to answer any questions that the panel may have.
All right. Any questions, panel?
Just one in respect of 10 p.m, Mr. Mead. That's Monday. That's seven days a week.
It is, yes.
Yes. Is it not unreasonable to have it at 9 p.m?
No, that's not unreasonable to the extent that the acoustic analysis says that that's not necessary. But I would accept that that's a reasonable proposition to lessen the intensity of any impacts for 9 p.m. to apply through weekdays.
Yep, and then perhaps 10 for weekend or for Friday, Saturday only.
Yes, I think that would be reasonable.
Mm-hmm. There is a suggestion that the plan of management be amended to include a telephone contact number on the outside of the building. That wouldn't cause any problem, I would expect.
No, not at all. That would be typical practice, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
And the other thing was a firming up of the condition requiring the community, register of complaints must be kept with a response of what response has been taken to the complaint, et cetera, et cetera, and for that to be available for council to inspect at any time.
Yes, that's fine. In fact, the plan of management already requires that, that it's available to council officers and the New South Wales Police at any time. But we're happy with that. It's already in the plan of management.
Okay. And the other thing that could be is a community liaison committee. And I'll just ask your comments on that, Mr. Mead.
Yes, that's. I think that the way that could be dealt with, and again, the plan of management has a provision on this, part A to the plan of management talks about community liaison. It does open the, encourages liaison between the owner, the council, local area command, and neighbours. Now, that's the way that's worded at the moment. It says as necessary, that the wording of that could be tightened, of course, to put that on a time frame, that's done on a 12-monthly basis or whatever else it might be. I think a 12-month check-in would be good practice.
Well, initially it'd have to be every 3 to 4 months.
That would be fine. Because the boarding house, because there will be an on-site manager, that's not a significant burden to the owner, given that there's a manager up there every day of the weekend, would be more than happy and willing to be engaging with neighbours.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, panel?
No.
No questions? Well, what the panel will do is we will consider what's been put to us, both by Mr. Mead and by Mr. Shelley, and publish our decision in due course.
Thank you.
Considering everything.
Thank you, Chair and panel. I would just like to reiterate that the applicant has not sought to actually explain the significant shortfall in parking. And I'd also like to draw attention to the fact that this application went in just prior to the new SEP coming in. Now, I understand that this application is being assessed under the old SEP, but I do encourage you to have regard to the new SEP and specifically the requirements that a boarding house that will have vulnerable residents would require two on-site, well-qualified managers for such a proposal. Thank you.
All right. So as I said, we will consider what's been put to us and publish our decision in due course, which now brings us to item number 7. Item number 7 is the proposed gymnasium on the ground floor at 621 Parramatta Road, Leichhardt. We have a number of speakers registered to speak on this matter. First of all, I will call on Wayne. Is Wayne there, please? I don't have a surname, but again, we're talking about item 7, proposed gymnasium, 621 Parramatta Road, Leichhardt. Is Wayne there? All right. If not, then Professor Chabon.
Yes, good afternoon, Chair. How's my sound?
You're at work, I see.
I am indeed.
All right, you proceed.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes. And we have read what you have written.
Thank you very much. Look, I'll keep this brief. My name is Ramon Chabon. I live at number 90 Brighton Street in Petersham. My partner and I moved to Sydney in 2017 to the Petersham local area. And it's an area that we absolutely love for a whole host of reasons, which I won't go into now. But I'm here today to support the applicant with respect to the use of premises for the German Healthcare Centre. In addition to what I've said in my written submission, there are three particular things I'd like to say. First of all, InnerFit is more than just a gym. The inner Western Sydney is full of classic gymnasiums, which are largely, you know, weight-based facilities, but InnerFit offers so much more on every sort of level, including general health and wellbeing, nutrition coaching, fitness, mental health and wellbeing. And this was, you know, for me, vital in the last couple of years. As you saw in my submission, I led the COVID-19 response for Western Sydney Local Health District, and I saw the first wave of patients in this state. And being able to access the gym through very many stages of lockdown has been critical to the health and wellbeing of not only myself, but also many of my friends who go to that gym as well. Secondly, the gym offers a range of services in a way that best suits me and my lifestyle and my work. Only as recently as yesterday, I had to be dispatched to manage the monkeypox cases and outbreak in the state. And you know, I was unable to attend gym in the evening, as you saw by my written submission, but I am able to attend gym early in the morning. And so being able to attend 5 or 6 o'clock classes to me is critical to my health and wellbeing more broadly. And finally, in my view, respectfully, folks, InnerFit really does represent the Inner West. It's a community that I love, we adore it, and it holds true to the values of spirituality in terms of community. To not have InnerFit in its current form, I think, would be an enormous loss to me, to the people of Petersham, and certainly to the Inner West community. We would end up with another vacant block of land, another vacant area, in a long line of vacant blocks along Parramatta Road, and that, to my mind, services nobody's intent or goal. So I would implore members of this panel to support this service, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? What hours do you attend the gym?
So thank you, Chair. I usually attend 5 classes or 5 sessions a week, and these are systematically in the mornings. And this is either a 5 a.m. or a 6 a.m. class. So during the weekdays, I attend Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and that's usually 5 or 6 a.m. And on the weekends, I'm there at a 6 or 7 o'clock class. I almost never am able to attend classes either in the afternoon or in the evenings.
All right. Any other questions, panel?
No, thank you.
No questions?
No.
All right, thank you for that. Thank you very much. All right, next is Sarah Huvel.
Good afternoon, Chair and the panel. Thank you.
Yes.
Again, look, I'm in support.
Yeah, we have read what you've written. You want to add to that?
Well, I don't think I could add much more to what Professor Shaban has said. He summed it up pretty succinctly. I too attend the gym very early in the morning. I have a one-year-old, and I run my own business as well, and I also consult to the gym as their legal representative. But ultimately, being able to attend the gym at either 5 or 6 a.m. before my son starts his day is imperative for my health and wellbeing. I know there have been submissions raised objecting to the parking, for instance. And I think you'll see in my submission, you know, we have a way around that. We think that there's it's not the gym that is utilising all the parking in surrounding streets, laneways, Flood Albert, etc. But we are open to, you know, if the council were to implement a 2-hour restriction in those areas, similar to the rest of Flood Street and predominantly the rest of Leichhardt. And in addition to that, having the gym operate in the current hours that they are is, as Professor Shaban said, just it needs to operate in those hours. We have many, many members. Over 50, almost 53% of our members attend classes between 5 and 6 a.m. so that they are able to then, you know, do their health and wellbeing and then go on with their lives, especially the last 2 years. Having the amenity of the gym has been a game changer for many, many residents. And in addition to that, over 66% of our members attend the gym before 8 a.m. on a Saturday. So that just goes to show how many members actually utilise the gym outside those hours. Of those people, more than 64% of them attend the gym by walking. So there aren't people driving to the gym. We're locals. I live in Leichhardt, and many people walk to the gym. So concerns that have been raised previously in relation to the parking are unfounded in our view. But in addition to that, we have addressed the concerns with a way around the parking as well as noise issues that have been raised previously. But yes, that is my submission. Thank you, panel.
All right. Questions by the panel?
No.
No questions.
No questions. All right. Thank you for that. The next is Meredith Cranmer.
Hi there. My name is Meredith. I'm just building on what Sarah and Raymond said. I am a member and fully support Innifit. I live locally. My neighbours and I all attend Innifit. It's fantastic. Just walk around the corner. I don't personally know anybody who drives to the gym. I, like Sarah, I'm a small business owner. So being able to have the flexibility and variety of classes at all times a day to work around my calendar is really absolutely essential. I've made good friends at the gym. I recently had an injury. They have supported me through that. And I think, you know, as Raymond sort of really summarized, it's just really encapsulates everything that's great about the Inner West and why they have such high member engagement. I think, you know, it's not just another gym, and Scott and Simone and their team really make a personal effort. So if you haven't tried Innifit, it might be a good chance to try it. I recently had my mum over from New Zealand. They accommodated her to be able to come and do a spin class with me. And, you know, I think that just says it all, really, that, you know, members are really committed to the success of what is actually a small business in the Inner West. And as a small business owner, you know, but for them being up against sort of the chains and things like that, I think that, you know, they've got a really successful business, and, you know, the proof is in the pudding by the happiness of their members. And that's all I've got to say.
Can I ask you this? What times do you attend the gym?
Mostly around 6 a.m. Sometimes to 5 a.m. But I'll be honest, it's a little bit early for me. But always in the morning, before my day starts. Again, I have young children as well. And, you know, even 7 a.m. is just that little bit too late for me to manage school pickup.
All right. Any questions, panel?
No.
No? All right. We have two representatives of the applicant. Simone Ellis, are you online? Or Natalie Dundovich?
I'm Simone, but I think Natalia wants to speak.
Yes.
She was there.
Is he there?
She was.
She's on mute. Oh, no.
It might have to be you, Simone. We can't.
Might have to be me.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Look, basically, I think Sarah and Meredith and Ramon have sort of filled our case a little bit. I guess the only other thing I could add is the ramifications of changing our hours would be, other than being detrimental to the clients, it would also be detrimental to the staff. So in that 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. time especially, we do have quite a lot of people that are coming in those times before their work. They can be for PT sessions as well, so just one-on-one sessions. So we have two full-time personal trainers that we employ. Both of those are local Leichhardt people as well, and a part-time one. If those hours are shortened and we can't, and these clients can't access those time spots, that's also going to affect those staff members and our ability to employ them as well. I think Sarah's been through all the statistics and stuff like that. I know one of the main objections seemed to be about the parking. I too just want to bring that up as well. Like, our members aren't the ones taking up those spots in Flood Street. Like, when you come in, if you did happen to be driving in at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., any neighbours that live in those areas are already parked. They're not coming looking for parking at that time of the morning. Most of those parking spots are taken up by other businesses in the area, car yards and stuff like that, that are leaving their cars basically in those open areas, those open time slots, all day, every day. I think Sarah's sort of spot on. If that rest of Flood Street, so the first 100 200 metres of Flood Street is open to no time limit on the parking. Same with Albert Street. If that was changed to two-hour parking like the rest of Flood Street, I think that would overcome any issues with the residents.
I'll just ask you about the hours of operation. A proposed condition of consent limits the proposed hours of operation 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday and 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday to Sunday. What do you say about those?
So we would like you to consider doing 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday to Friday,
yeah,
and 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Also noting that that's not all class time. So after 8 p.m. Monday to Friday or after 8 p.m. Monday to Thursday, there would be no classes. So that would just be gym access time where people can come and just access the gym to do their own training.
And so let me understand this. Mondays to Fridays, you prefer 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
No, 5 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And then Saturday and Sunday, you still prefer
6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
For the gym hours, yes. Yeah. The door access. When COVID came in, we implemented the swipe system so that people could only access the gym if they were a member. So during those hours, from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and 6 and 10, they would be able to still access to use the gym in their own time.
All right. Any questions, panel?
Yes. Can I just ask one? Simone, I'm a little bit confused because we've got information in our assessment about class hours, which includes, as you've mentioned, 5 o'clock classes.
Yeah.
But it also talks about staffed hours at going from 10 till 7. But surely there are people there taking classes who are staffed, no?
So, yeah, so there would be a trainer on the class. The staffed hours we used to have before COVID, so we'd have someone reception. We don't do that anymore.
Mm. So it's by people can arrive at 5 o'clock and they use their own card.
Correct.
And it may be that there's no staff there.
At 5 a.m. there would generally be staff there because there would be a trainer on. Mm. But, yeah, there would be no reception staff. That's correct.
And the entrance is from the Parramatta Road?
That's right, from Parramatta
Road. Not yeah. From the rear?
Absolutely not, no.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hello, Chair.
Mr. Thong, yes, you have something to say.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to speak. Actually, my phones weren't, my speakers just weren't picking up my volume earlier. So,
all right, well you're on audio now.
Great.
Proceed.
No, thank you, Chair, and for everyone for listening. I just wanted to raise my concerns about the parking and just the impact that it will have on the development may have on the parking on the street. As mentioned, it's already quite bad on my street. And as some of the other speakers have said, it's not just all due to Innofit. There are a number of commercial operations on Parramatta Road and they use the parking as well. I have a 6-month-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And whenever my wife parks during the day, she has to park quite a few minutes away from our house because there's just a severe lack of parking. I note that the DA seeks to increase patronage by 10 people, which I will actually admit that's not actually a very large amount of people. My concern is actually the fact that in the original DA, they actually asked for patronage to be increased to 100. And further to that, I guess, is my concern is that applicant actually has a history of non-compliance with its DA. The very reason why they are seeking this extension to the ground floor is because they were previously functioning from the ground floor for a number of years without DA approval, that is. I live behind them and I know that they actually had some issues with the noise. So they were actually opening up the windows and doors for a number of years prior to. And also, even if you look at the present moment, you can see that their opening hours are actually more than what their DA currently allows. So like I said, the increase of 10 people is not really necessarily that bad. It will have an impact on parking. My concern is more, well, they're doubling their floor space, but they're looking to increase patronage by 30%. My concern is, well, what if they actually end up, given the history of non-compliance, end up having more people at the gym and the impact that will have on the parking. So that was just the concern I wanted to raise in relation to that. That's all.
All right, any questions, panel?
No
questions.
Sorry, I was just wondering, can you guys hear me now? I think I had issues before with my microphone.
Did you wish to say something?
Yeah, sorry, it's Natalie. We're the applicant for the application. Would it be okay if I just responded to some of Wayne's concerns? If there's time.
Are you Natalie?
Yes.
I'm sorry, yes. I didn't know who you were. So do you want to respond to what Mr. Thong has said?
Yes, yeah, so with the original DA consent for the operation of the upstairs gym, the original approval only had two car spaces approved. With this proposed extension, we're actually proposing an additional four car spaces, so there'll be six in total, which is obviously providing more than what was previously provided. As you know, the location of the site is situated in an area that's that has close proximity to a number of public transport options. And as you've heard from members, a lot of them, you know, walk to the gym. The client actually conducted a survey themselves with the percentage results, I guess, of the amount of people that actually do either walk or get public transport. And about 64% of the gym users, as Sarah mentioned earlier, either live close by and basically walk or use public transport. And I guess as well, in answer to those concerns about parking, I guess any gym goers that do that may, you know, drive to the gym, parking is timed anyways. Generally, classes or people even going to the gym are generally there for an hour or so. I guess Simone could maybe add further to that. So it's not like people are there for extended periods of time where they're occupying the car space on the street. So I think we provided the traffic report by Oswald Consulting, and they've provided surveys of the streets and have, you know, basically satisfied that the parking is sufficient. And in addition to the noise concerns, I do know that council did condition the roller shutter to be closed from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. So I think that's probably a positive thing, but
we're actually happy to have the door shut at all times. We don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, so and then again as well in with the council's letter of assessment, we did actually provide an acoustic report that I guess supported those times. But I guess if, you know, we're happy to, but as Simone said, to have the roller door shut for longer periods of time if it means that members can actually get to classes earlier with extended training hours.
All right. Any questions, panel?
No, just one, please, Chair, and that's with respect to previously you were operating under a trial period for the hours, and I presume you'd have no objection for the, especially now that they're earlier as well, to have a trial period.
Absolutely. No, I agree with. I think that would be fair. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No.
If not, thank you very much. As with the other matters, we will consider what's been put to us and a decision will be published in due course. So with that, we can move on to item number 8, the development at 2 Gladstone Street, Newtown. This is the proposed fit out and use of the ground floor as a gym. It is within a B7 business zone and is of permissible use. We have a number of people who wish to speak on this. Firstly, is Marilyn Fairsky there, please?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Hi, please excuse my voice. I'm recovering from COVID at the moment.
Well, at least you're not here.
I know, which is jolly good for all of us.
We have your written submission, by the way.
All right. Look, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak. I've gone through things in quite some detail in my submission, but I suppose the item that's of most concern to me, I mean, myself and my husband, we're long-term residents. We've lived in Wilford Street for the past 22 years. We live directly opposite the building, which backs onto Wilford Street and faces onto Gladstone Street. And it's a matter of maybe 4 or 5 metres from our front gate to the building itself. And we are incredibly concerned, what we understood were going to be creative uses, that there's some loophole in the regulations that allow a gym to be classified as a creative use. There are already several gyms in our immediate area, but this gym is actually a kickboxing gym. And if anyone is familiar with what kickboxing gyms are like, basically they require, and it's mentioned in the DA as well, quite loud thumping music, you know, in order to whip up the clients to sort of keep the pace of everything going with their exercising. And we know ourselves, surrounded as we are with, you know, we've got Enmore Road just 20 metres away and with the Enmore Theatre very near as well, that loud thumping, particularly bass, it just penetrates. It penetrates no matter how many walls, no matter how much acoustic buffering there is, it just penetrates right into our house. Now, we have had double glazing put on our windows. We have lots of trees in the front yard to buffer our small front yard. It's a Victorian terrace to buffer sound coming in. But we really feel very, very anxious about the fact that 4 or 5 metres away from 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning, I think, except Christmas Day, we're going to be subject to gym music. And not only just ordinary gym music, it's not sort of like yoga music or Pilates music. This is kickboxing gym. That's the sole proposed activity for this gym. And my husband's has chronic heart disease. I mean, the thing of getting, you know, a restful night's sleep is quite important to us. And we just don't see, having gone through the DA very clearly, looking at, you know, the supposed sound mitigation measures, we know ourselves from our experience with other places in our immediate neighbourhood that people say everything they need to say in order to get something through. But then the reality is it's up to the residents to be constantly having to be policing it, because they always exceed it. And this particular, the company behind the DA, we had a nightmare during their prolonged construction period because they kept breaching all the conditions of operation. You'd ring up the mobile number that all the residents in our street were given and no one ever picked up. And
isn't so Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Anyway, we're despairing because we think goodbye, any chance of sort of peace and quiet in our home.
Well, that is your 3 minutes. As I said, we do have your written statement. You also briefly mentioned parking, and we've read what you've written there. I'll allow you another minute if you wish to add to that.
All right. Look, thank you very much. So, all right, noise is our, you know, biggest fear, and the fact of how will it be monitored, how will we have any recourse when things invariably, you know, exceed what they're meant to be doing and all of that. But parking around here in our street, in our neighbourhood, if you dare to take your car out, then you have to be resigned to parking maybe 3 or 4 or 5 blocks away when you come back. I mean, it's, you know, great. We're all sort of walking more, using public transport more. But at the same time, it's also very difficult when you have to go to appointments and things like that. And when I have to take my husband to appointments, that the absence of parking, because we have the competition from Enmore Road and from Young Henry's, because they have so many staff now, they don't have parking on site because they also have lots of trucks. And they, when they moved in, it was going to be, oh, yes, people will cycle here. And I'm sure the gym thinks that people will cycle there or walk there, but they won't, because they'll be coming from all over the place and they will be trying to park. And so unless council introduces, you know, a better residence parking scheme, it's just going to really exacerbate what's a very chronic problem now. I mean, we all might as well really flog our cars off, because you take the car out of its parking spot and it's goodbye, you know. But anyway, I mean, that is a real issue, I think. Parking and the noise. The noise is the thing that's really got our street worried.
All right. Any questions by the panel? No questions?
No.
All right. Thank you for that.
Lisa wanted to say something.
All right.
She's on mute.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I'm just interested in what you're saying about the kickboxing. Yes. How do you know that's...
As soon as we received the DA, I rang up council. I rang up the... I'm trying to see who... I don't have the name on my application here, but the council officer, you know, you get the initial notification. It has the person's name down the bottom, and you can ring them up and get further information. And was that council officer? I mean, I can look it up in my files. I won't do it now because it will hold you up, and just put it on a chat thing for you. He advised me that even though this was not a creative use, that there was some anomaly that meant that council would be unable to stop this going ahead, and that also that it was a kickboxing gym, and that the kickboxing gym is mentioned in the DA itself, and as is the music that would, you know, start at 5 o'clock. And then I looked up, well, what's kickboxing music like, you know, although we already know what it's like, and then it has a really loud massive number of beats per second, because, you know, it's got to be sort of pumping people up to keep sort of doing the, you know, kickboxing, whatever it is they do. But yes, it is a kickboxing gym. That's its sole sort of gym activity.
Any other questions?
I'm surprised that it wasn't sort of in the DA letter, I must say. I had to actually ring up to find out.
Any other questions, panel?
No. Not at this stage.
No? All right. We have another person who wishes to speak. Major Zagan.
Thank you for...
Major Zagan, please.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I have similar objections to Marilyn. So I live on the opposite side on Gladstone Street. I would say that we're actually not impacted by the noise on Enmore Road that Marilyn's impacted by. For us, we purchased here last year, and it's quiet. So impacts of people coming and going at 5 a.m. Will definitely impact our sleep. So to us, sleep is also precious. So while I may not be wearing a surgeon's uniform, I also have a role. Basically, my role is to help 8 million Australians with their banking, with online banking. We've got other professionals living in this building, so we too need our sleep. So appreciate while the previous DA discussion, were people in favour of exercising at 5 a.m. I think everyone's entitled to, you know, health and wellbeing. My main objection is the noise of people coming and going, the music. It is a kickboxing gym. So on their website, they operate another venue in Potts Point in a busier location. And it talks on their website about how they have DJ sets and they create an environment with pumping music and mood lighting, etc. And my other objection is around the use of the site. It was approved as commercial, as creative use. So we did our diligence before we purchased last year, and we saw that it had been approved by the Land and Environment Court as for creative use. So that anomaly that Marilyn mentioned, I think that's what it's in relation to. So it was approved as creative use, not as a kickboxing gym. Also, there's been no site visit. So I would recommend a site visit, and you'll see we're just surrounded by residents. So it's just small terrace houses, apartments, and there's also apartments on top of the proposed gym.
I can tell you we have all visited the site. We've all
visited. Okay, I saw that it said due to COVID there was no site visit.
We have all visited.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay. All right, so.
So what exactly is your address?
No, I'm in an apartment in number 1 Gladstone Street. I'm in level 1, so I'm directly facing that building.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So any I can questions? Look straight in just from here.
All right. Any questions, panel?
No.
No questions? All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Now we have the applicant represented here, 3 speakers registered. Who wishes to speak?
I can speak, Mr. Chairman. I'm Kate Bartlett, the applicant's planner, town planner, if that assists.
Good, thank you. Proceed.
Sure. So I just wanted to first address a couple of concerns that were raised by the residents. The first one obviously relates to this issue of creative uses. Now, the DA or the land is actually zoned business park, B7, but the Marrickville LEP permits that where business and office uses are permitted in B7, they need to have an element of creative uses. Separately, as an independent permissible land use, are recreation centres indoor. So the previous consent granted a mixed-use building with commercial offices on ground and level 1, and they were mandated to be creative, and then obviously residential accommodation above. So what this application is doing is a separate application for a different permissible use for the ground floor. Rather than business and office, it'll be indoor recreation. So it's quite a clean and permissible use within the zone. It's also noted that the first floor will be ongoing as commercial and creative uses. Now, the other issue around the noise. So as a result of a number of the submissions that were made during exhibition, the council came back to us and asked for more stringent noise controls to be provided in the acoustic report, and then to then update the plan of management to ensure that all of those noise controls were implemented. And it's a combination of additional acoustic treatment for how the building is actually designed and made, and then a number of controls around operation, around decibels for noise, and a number of those treatments. So I think it's quite important to note that they are all being built in, and that the plan of management has been revised to become far more stringent to address that issue, because certainly we don't want to be making music issues or noise issues for surrounding residents. Part of the complexity of this site is that it's got a good patchwork of zoning. So this site is actually zoned B7, and some of the sites next door are B5. So your sort of traditional commercial office, or I guess business use type elements, but then you've got a combination of sort of low density residential and high density residential. And I think that's part of the complexity of this site. And what we've certainly focused on is giving appropriate protections, particularly to address noise. I've got the acoustic consultant available as well, if you'd like to ask him any questions or you have any questions for me.
Right. Any questions, panel?
I have a question, thank you, Chair, and that's with respect to the original approval. As I understand what you've said, it required a creative purpose or use within the development that was approved. Is that correct? Yes. So what? So then this is not classified as creative purpose.
No.
So where is the creative purpose within the development that was approved?
So it was approved originally on ground floor and level one. This application will turn ground floor into the gym. The commercial office space for creative uses will continue on level one.
Okay, so was there, I'm just trying to understand, was there a percentage or a prerequisite that there'd be a certain amount of creative purpose within the development when it was originally approved?
So there was, but it didn't tie to the creative, it tied to the residential. So the B7 is one of the few zones in New South Wales that permits residential buildings in it, or the Marrickville B7 does. But where it permits residential buildings, it can only form 40% of the land uses of the site. So the in terms of the non-residential uses at the time, it was chosen to be business or office, and the business use was what specified the creative, whereas we could have come in and had a boxing gym on the ground floor from day one and it wouldn't have affected the percentage requirement because that's around residential, non-residential.
Okay, then. Another question in terms of with a 5 a.m. opening, that is very early, and I'm just trying to understand, you've no objection to a trial period?
No, none at all.
And a register of complaints?
That's already in the plan of management and we will absolutely keep to that.
Okay, but perhaps it may be by way of condition rather than just left to the plan of management. And is there a provision for the plan of management peak to be reviewed and amended from time to time as may be required by the council?
We're happy to have a condition like that if you feel that that's needed. That's not an issue at all.
Okay. And if we require a trial period, what would you see as what core hours have you applied for?
We had applied for them straight, but we hadn't had core and non-core hours. I mean, I would think weekdays, a 6 a.m. start is relatively reasonable given most people are getting up and going to work. It doesn't go that late anyway. It's only around 10 o'clock. And then the Sunday hours are shorter anyway.
Right. And in terms of the acoustic report, have you got a post becoming fully operational to require an acoustic report to check the decibels, et cetera?
I might get William, are you on this call? I might get you to talk to some of those elements, but yes, they are built in that way.
Chair and panel. I believe the consent condition can be applied to require a compliance inspection prior to occupation or now, first now, 3 months.
My question is a post-operational one,
yes,
which is done, not just prior to occupation.
Yeah, so that can be conditioned as well.
And you're the acoustic engineer, are you?
I am, yes, sorry. William from Bay Design.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you please describe to us the music, the decibels that are expected to be produced, all that sort of thing, and in a nutshell, without going to every word of the acoustic report, what the provisions are to mitigate same?
Yes, so we have allowed for a high level of music inside the training rooms. We've designed the external facade to have significant double glazing. So we're talking about sort of two separate panes of windows separated by approximately 100 millimetres to reduce the noise.
And non-openable windows?
No, it's all commercial fixed glazing. That's the facade facing the north, which is also directly opposite a commercial office building and the train line behind. And then to the rear of the building is actually separated by masonry walls and an internal corridor within the building with the toilets separating the training rooms from those residences. So there's a lot of separation between the actual training room and the nearby residences.
Okay, and with respect to that is the residences on Wilfrid Street as well?
Wilfrid Street, correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And Gladstone Street?
Gladstone Street, there's some distance separation. You have the loading dock and driveway access on one side, and then the residences to the northeast, I believe, one number one Gladstone Street. They're, again, a bit further away from the building. So there's some distance attenuation separating the two.
And with the component of residential that's in the building, has there been all the necessary acoustic controls or structural methods implemented? Is it currently occupied or?
Yes, it is.
That is. So in terms of the original construction, I don't suppose it would have anticipated a kickboxing gym. So what I'm trying to understand is what's the amenity of the people within the residential, within the development?
Sure. So the kickboxing gym is on the ground floor. Then you have the first floor level, which is commercial creative use space, and then the residential above. So there's an entire floor separation from the gym to the residences above. In addition, we've recommended vibration isolation for the kickboxing bags and the speakers to prevent any vibration entering the building structure.
Right. I think the post monitoring sounds very important. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, panel? Does anyone else on behalf of the applicant wish to speak?
Reno, the applicant, he was just texting me. He's struggling to get into the Zoom call. I can probably find a way, but if the panel don't have further questions, hopefully we've addressed some of the queries potentially, or I can try and loop him in by the phone or such.
Well, I'll ask the panel. Does the panel want to raise any further questions with the applicant?
No. Yes, I do. It's just regarding this use as a kickboxing gym, which you've now clarified is the proposal, and the concern of the residents regarding the type of music and having DJs and what have you. Can you just tell us a little bit more about what type of music it is? Is it the case that there are DJs and, perhaps alleviate any concern in that regard?
I think the operator is on the call today. No, it doesn't.
Is he available?
So Reno is the overall building owner, so he's not the operator of the gym. Let me see if I can just call him quickly.
I've just managed to hop in on the call. Sorry about that. Just having some technical problems. My name's Reno Criolla on behalf of the applicant. The gym doesn't have any DJs. There's no DJs as such. It's just a gym, but they operate like classes, and it's all basically cardio as opposed to strength. So it's more around boxing. That's the premise of the. And they've already got established operations in Potts Point, and they've got a couple in Brisbane. So it's an established operator, and they operate in high residential density zones. So it's not a nightclub.
No, we're not suggesting that.
No.
But at the same time, requiring an operating hours from 5 a.m., wasn't it?
Yeah, look, that's to cater, because obviously there's a lot of people who start work at 7 a.m. And obviously the 5 a.m. start is to cater for people who start work at 7 a.m. Not that there'll be a heavy influx at that point, but obviously there's a market there of people who do work at those hours, shift workers, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what that 5 a.m. start is for.
So you're still proposing classes at 5 a.m.?
Not necessarily classes. There'll be self-workouts. It all depends on the demand, obviously. So the operator will tailor the operating hours to the demand, but they just want the flexibility to run 5 a.m. classes if, particularly in that location, you have, and it's an affordable housing project, so you have a lot of people who work shift work, and their target market is that type of person. So, and it's not heavy weight, so you don't have weights being banged on the ground and that. It's all sort of cardio, like it's all physical work, not heavy weights, things like that.
And Ms. Morrell had suggested potentially a trial for particularly the 5 to 6, and I had said we wouldn't have an issue with the trial.
No issues with the trial and no issues with post-acoustic testing.
All right. Any other questions, panel?
Yep.
No? Lisa, any other questions? No. All right, I think we've got all the information we need. So thank you for that. And as with the previous matters, we'll take on board what's been put to us, and there will be a formal decision published in due course. So thank you all for your attendance, and we can now move on to item number 9.
Is it possible to make a comment? I'm Michael Fox. I know this is out of order, but I've spoken to our client about item 5. Is it possible to have 1 minute of your time later in the meeting, sir?
While it's all fresh in our mind, we'll give you 1 minute now.
Fine. I really appreciate that, Chair and panel. I've spoken to our client about item 5, which is 745 Darling Street.
Yes.
On behalf of our client, we're prepared to change boarding room 9 on the second floor to the communal area, as suggested by you and the panel. And we're also prepared to reduce the kitchen in boarding room 5 so that it accommodates 2 lodgers. So we're prepared to make those 2 changes, and we can formalise that any way that you wish, responding to the comments of you and the panel and the residents. So we think we can resolve those 2 matters, hopefully satisfactorily. Thank you, Chair.
Just one question of Mr. Fox, and that is then access would be available for the disabled room to the common room and the private open space, and the communal open space, sorry.
We could install a stair lift, yes, a stair platform lift.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right.
And just a comment on that, is that a procedure that can be included in this meeting, or is it something that would be...
Well, I don't know. It may have to be re-advertised. I'll have to consult with the council staff on that.
I'd have a problem with that, given that the objectors got the message that the application was not going to be supported.
Yes, the objectors haven't heard what's just been put to us. If you want to make those changes, the proposal may have to be re-advertised and re-notified, which means we can't deal with it now. Thinking about the procedure, I think... what is now proposed could form part of an application for review. My preferred course would be to refuse this application. It would then be open to the applicant to lodge an application for review with these changes incorporated. I think that would be the preferred course, and then the objectors will be able to see precisely what's now proposed.
Chair, can I just suggest that there is one other course? Perhaps we could defer it.
No, we are against deferrals. The present practice is to avoid deferrals wherever possible, because you then have to reconvene the same panel to convene the application, which is not always practical. The preferred course is to refuse. There can be an application for review, which can be determined by any panel.
Well, we could do it by electronic, with all due respect, with electronic determination. But anyway, that's a matter for you, Chair.
No, I think it has to go back to public exhibition, and that can't be done by electronic determination.
Well, if you defer it, the processes still are in place, and then we do it electronically.
Yes. Anyway, that's something we can sort out when we meet to finalise it. All right.
This has taken a long time to get to this point. We've had very good support through council officers, and what we're doing now is trying to respond to these 2 issues that have been raised today. And we hope that procedurally we could progress this matter. Otherwise, we're probably faced with further months of delay on this project. And really the chance here is to perhaps... I would have thought possibly resolve it.
Well, you've heard what Ms. Morell has said. There is the alternative of deferring it rather than refusing it and then reconsidering it on an application for review, we'll have to consider all what procedure to follow.
Well, the deferral would be appreciated because then we could respond as quickly as possible.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, panel.
Yep. All right.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Sorry. My name's Scott Tran. I had problems with my audio earlier, so I couldn't speak. Regarding the application for number 2 Gladstone Street,
can I just ask who's speaking?
Yes, my name's Scott Tran.
I can't see you on our screen.
Yes, sorry, I'm on my phone and I'm having various problems with this. I just wanted to ask if the applicants are going to address the parking, because I don't see how the existing parking issues, I don't see how they wouldn't be significantly exacerbated by having this additional traffic coming through.
Is that your comment? Is that your...
Yeah, I was hoping that somebody would address the parking issue. So beyond just the noise, I was hoping somebody would address the parking issue from the applicant side, but I didn't hear it addressed.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there is street parking.
The street parking, as some residents have said, the street parking leaves you driving around for 30 minutes looking for a parking spot. And for some people, like my wife, who frequently has to drive a 2- and 4-year-old, parking blocks away is frequently not an option.
Well, from my visit to the site, there doesn't seem to be any ability to provide off-street parking. And that's my observation.
Yeah, so I think that's going to make it worse for the residents, because if we're just adding more visitors to the area who need parking spots, it's just going to make it far more difficult for us, the residents in that area, to park. And just every time, I think one of the speakers earlier mentioned that when you leave your parking spot, you give up something that's going to take a long time, lots of driving around to get back. And so when you leave and then you come back and you have to go through the rigmarole of driving around for ages to look for a parking spot. And I'm surprised that this wasn't further addressed, and I haven't seen anything, I didn't hear anything from the applicants that addressed it. Everything just touched upon the matter of noise.
All right. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, all the other issues have been addressed by other residents, but I just felt that parking wasn't strongly addressed enough.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Mrs. Chair.
Thank you for that. All right. We can now move on to item number 9. Item number 9 is the proposed development at 108 to 112 Smith Street, Summer Hill. This is a demolition of an existing structure, being a car repair station, retention of the main Smith Street facade, and construction of 8 dwellings as shop top housing with 2 commercial suites fronting Smith Street. Recommended for approval. Again, we have a number of people who wish to speak. Firstly, is Louis Rodriguez there, please?
Yes, that's me. Can you hear me?
You've been waiting a long time.
Yes, I have.
You've been waiting a long time.
You can hear me there. Is that right? You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. First of all, for the record, your name and address, please. Mr. Rodriguez, your name.
My name is Luis.
Yes.
Yes, Luis Rodriguez. I'm one now running straight to Summer Hill.
All right, you proceed. Please proceed.
Proceed. Thank you, Chair. Yes, so my name is Luis Rodriguez. I'm the owner of Occupy of One Now Running Street. I wrote my submission about state my concerns as a green business of how this proposed development will directly affect me and the neighbourhood. So initially, the impact of the proposed shadows and how far those shadows cast onto my property and in particular my backyard. I'm concerned with how much sunlight that will take away. According to the diagram, there's minimal impact to the backyard, leaving the rest of the backyard free of shadows. However, 114 Smith Street, which is alongside my backyard, does have a proposed shadow from 9 to 11. So that's in terms of regarding sunlight and how that will impact my backyard and also the front yard. My other concerns, so one around East Street, there's an easement and then there would be the development, right? Now that during the week is used for business purposes by local businesses, and that's from Monday to Friday, and that's from 9 to 5. And that's, yeah, that's fine. And it's not disruptive and it doesn't affect our lives. However, with this new development and the increase in the potential increase of vehicles coming in. The potential danger to the continual large garage door and the most disruption in 24/7 opening and closing of the door would close. Not only that, this would be from Monday to Sunday 24/7. Also, the danger to pedestrians and signage to protect both drivers and pedestrians, because that easement leads to 1 hour on East Street. And, you know, more often than not, there are near misses. And basically just the noise, the dust, the congestion and the disruption that this development would cause not only to myself, but also to the neighbourhood, and the fact that we weren't really notified.
There's some interference, Mr.
Yes, sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know. Not on my part. Yeah, sorry. So where was I? Yes, so, and how long this development would take place, because there has been construction nearby, and that's fine, but the duration of this development and the size of it and the disruption it would cause, but also on our mental health, which shouldn't be taken lightly, especially during the last 2 to 3 years.
Sorry, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
And also the proximity to the house border. It's absolutely alongside my property. So there's an easement and then there's a property, and the proximity to that and the structural damage that it may cause is another objection. Thank you.
Any questions, panel?
No.
Panel members, any questions?
No.
No? All right. Thank you for that. The next speaker I have is Anthony Markakis. I think I've got the pronunciation correct.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and panel. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm the acting solicitor for Ranch Dice Proprietary Limited, which is the registered proprietor of 106 Smith Street, which is the adjoining property to the subject proposed development.
We have your written submission, by the way.
Okay, thank you. And I presume that read. Further to the submission, I kindly draw the attention of the panel to focus on two key matters. The first one relates to the agenda, the Inner West Local Planning Panel agenda on pages 734 and 735. Address the issue of the right of way. on the top of page 735, it refers to the right of way matter being a civil matter and not a matter which can be considered as part of the assessment of the proposal. I've been instructed to advise that the matter is in fact also a planning and a traffic matter because it with respect to 106 Smith Street, it results in the loss of parking and reduced maneuverability, which is a poor planning outcome. There appears to be an obvious opportunity on reviewing the plans that by shifting the parking entranceway to the southeast corner of the proposed development and allowing for that existing display will significantly improve the swept path analysis and review, and you'll create much better maneuverability into the property. It provides a solution to the issue and it does not restrict or inhibit the applicant's proposed development of the lot. My client considers it that it's a fair, reasonable and practical solution which council could determine by way of a consent condition, which could allow for a setback to accommodate for that splay, which my client asserts is an existing equitable easement and equitable right of way. As you can see on page 734, in image one, the right of way access way, it's very narrow. The intensity of the use of the site is only proposed to increase with the construction of 8 dwellings, shop tops, plus 2 commercial. If you review the 1943-6 maps and also the 1955 DP, displays are evident. They're there. There must be a reason why they were there, and it's obvious to conclude it's to assist with the access, entry and exit into the property, which will become more important now that the intensity and scale of the use is proposed to be intensified.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Final point, Chairperson, if I could have a moment, please.
Yes, proceed.
The page 735 refers to negotiations being underway between the 108 to 112 and 106 Smith Street landowners. I just wanted to clarify that it was my client who made a commercial offer recently to settle the matter, but for all intents and purposes, there does not appear to be a present negotiation underway because the applicant has not responded to my client's most recent correspondence. So there was an attempt to reach a negotiation, but I wouldn't describe it as a negotiation, which is one that is currently on foot.
Right. Any questions, panel?
Sorry, would it be possible to just reiterate what you saw as the solution to this?
Yes. I'm happy to reiterate that. In my one-page summary, in item 3, I have an extract of the applicant's proposed ground floor, which contains the parking. That southeast corner is, I've circled in red.
Right.
If a setback is allowed there, which accommodates for the display, it then resolves my client's objection. But furthermore, if the parking, which is now visible in the middle of the rear of the site, if the parking accessway was actually shifted to that southeast corner, which was then to be set back in line with where the existing fencing is. I'm not sure if you recall that from your site inspection. Then the accessway from a traffic planning perspective would be significantly improved, and it would also result in the preservation of my client's parking access to their property. But it does regrettably require to some extent a redesign of that that ground floor level, particularly at that southeast corner.
Thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, panel? No other questions?
No.
Right. Next, Wendy Walker.
Good afternoon, Chair and panel.
Yes.
I am an owner of the 114 Smith Street, Summerhill, together with my brothers David and Warren Trinder. Our business, we have a plumbing business in the shop front and a workshop at the back, which has the access to the right of way that we were just discussing. We also have three residents on the property. There's a few issues that concern us. One is the party wall where the intended construction is going to happen. We've been operating for over 100 years and we've been on this premises for about that. It is a very old building and we are concerned with the integrity of that party wall where they will be demolishing, excavating and constructing. So I don't know if that's been addressed at all and what they can do to ensure us that there's the community safety and that that wall is going to uphold. We're not going to end up losing that wall.
Did you say your number 114?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Questions, panel? No?
No, not yet.
Okay, I'll continue then.
Yes.
The one of our biggest major problem is that right of way. That right of way is our access to our back workshop where, as a plumbing business, as I said, four generations plumbing in Summerhill. It's amazing. We want to continue that. And what we're finding is that if and when they build this, there's going to be 8 units of cars in and out. But more concerningly is also through the construction period that we're going to be able to access our workshop to get an excavator, to get equipment, to get materials ongoing, like 24/7. We have emergencies throughout the day, not too many, but we do have emergencies 24/7. So if there's concrete trucks, construction trucks, they're going to be in a position where they might not be able to move and that will hinder us to be able to operate. And we've been through COVID, we've been through this rain. It's very hard to try and sustain business with all of this. So we do have major concerns with this. Also in regards to the solar access in those three residents next to 108, 112, we have a small courtyard. And in the information council did on the shading, I don't believe it's true and correct, the ones on the pages to do with the from 8 o'clock to say 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, they're showing that existing is a lot more shade where I don't believe that's correct. So, and I know that on our, on the council's information, they did say that it didn't comply for the amount of light that was going to be lost due to the shading on those, yeah, the three windows and that. So I wondered how we're going to address that. And then continuing on, so I make sure I cover everything, is that talking about the parking, because they are one less parking, I believe. The local parking area, I have to park there every day. And they say there's adequate parking. Well, I'm sorry. I have to drive around many streets many times a day trying to get parking. It is difficult. And even our planning consultant that we engage, he said it also is constrained. Then there's also the noise issue. And I don't know whether that can be addressed for during construction. We're trying to operate our business. We have three residents there. We have all that. So these things we need to address. I'd like to also go back to the previous speaker when he's talking about the splay for 106 to gain entry. That also, I believe, would be better for the site. There is minimal site for these vehicles entering and exiting this new site, this new construction.
Sorry, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Sorry.
All right, can you can finish up?
Okay, so we are concerned. So as with the solicitor for 106 was saying, if the splay was set back at an angle, I believe it'll give better viewing and less problems with using the right of way. Now, we also reverse. We have to reverse into that laneway. So I don't know what provisions they're going to provide so then they don't whiz out of that that car park, which is directly beside one Naraini Street. That's their house wall. Now, if we're reversing back, I'm hoping that they're going to use due diligence to be able to not cause any issues.
Are you also speaking on behalf of David and Warren Trinder?
I've got David and Warren Trinder here. They're my brothers. Yes.
And do they wish to add anything?
No, Wendy has listed all the things issues resolved. Yes.
Yeah, and just the main thing on Warren Trinder, just the main thing is just the continuation of our business while the construction is happening through that right of way. We want to just be able to work and carry on working as we always do, and just hope that can happen while construction's on. That's all.
Can I just ask one question, Chair? Are you burdened by the right of way, or do you benefit from it?
No, we'll be burdened.
Yeah, we will be burdened because.
No. I mean, who owns the actual piece of land?
No one owns the right of way. That is a right of way.
Yeah. Oh, council.
Yeah, I believe so. We're not sure.
Warren A Council have reclaimed that land because there's a sewer main that goes through
Sydney Water,
a main that goes through that laneway. That's why it has to. You can't build over it. And we do benefit from the access of that lane to our workshop, which has been we've worked for there for over 100 years, and benefit from that.
And that workshop is at the very end of the right of way. So in that picture on page 734, you can see our vehicles in front of the roller door of that right of way, and that is our workshop, if you'd care to have a look.
Okay, but it's a council laneway. Okay, thank you. I thought it was a right of way, the laneway.
I ask you, so there's a workshop behind that roller door, so yes. You actually don't have any off-street car parking?
No.
We do park our.
No, we don't park because it's the right of way. But what they do is the boys will reverse up the laneway and they will offload material, pick up new material, and off they go. Then they have to, if they have to park at lunchtimes or anything like that, they have to more than often go try and find parking in the local area, which is quite difficult.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
Any other questions, panel? If not, we should hear.
Yes, I've got a question of Ms. Walker. With the operation of your business, do you have customers come to your business or do you go out on site solely?
Okay, so I'm in the office, okay, with an assistant. We're in the office, so we do the phone calls, foot traffic, a lot of foot traffic because we're one of the rare businesses that have a shop front. Okay, we have a lot of local community. We have people that drive to come and see us to book jobs in, a lot of it on the phone and foot traffic. Then we have Warren and David and our sons that are plumbers also, and they are out on the road and then they have to come back in to get materials, equipment. We have an excavator up the back. We have what they call a water jet machine to clear sewer chokes. So those are sort of emergency type things that we do need access like 24/7.
Thank you.
All right, well, now we should hear from Vanessa Palfreman.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I've got Andrew. I'm on Andrew's laptop. I've got Andrew with me. Andrew Sweeney from Palfreman Sweeney. I'm Vanessa Palfreman from Palfreman Sweeney. We're the architects for Sam and Maurice Peroni, who are the owner developers of this site. So would you like me to just go through some of the comments that were made by the adjoining owners?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I just took a few notes. So for Mr. Rodriguez lives in 1 Nalrani Street. So that is that's a house that the side of that house faces the right of way. So just going back to a little step, the right of way is it is a private DP and lot. It's not owned by the council, but it's not owned by any of the adjoining property owners either. It's one of these kind of forgotten pit parcels of land that is a registered easement, but doesn't seem to have an actual owner.
Registered easement for what purpose?
For access to these properties. So access to 116, 114, our property, and 106 and 104. So it provides rear access to all those properties.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 Nalrani is along one side of that. So that's it's a single level dwelling. There aren't any openings along that facade other than a small bathroom window, I believe. So in terms of the impact of it on the actual house, I think it's minimal, seeing as how there's no openings. In terms of the increase of cars on the site or on the right of way, the current site is a car mechanic. I mean, if you pop over there, there's up to 9 cars in that mechanic, you know, at any one time. So there's already a fair bit of traffic going up and down that right of way servicing the car mechanic. And obviously there's noise associated with the car mechanic, which obviously will not be there once it's developed as well.
It's not the same amount.
Yeah, so we have had an acoustic report done and an acoustic report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the duration to build and the, you know,
disruption.
The disruption that will form, I've got the builders here with me today and we just had a quick chat. They would estimate it would be a sort of 12 to 14 month construction time. And yes, agreed, construction is messy and noisy and all those things, but it's part of life as well. So, there's that thing, 12 to 14 months would be, you know, from where to go for the construction. Mr. Makakis is in 106. So in terms of access to his property, there is no easement at the moment on that splayed piece of land at the back. So the only registered easement is the lane. He has benefited by using the corner of this property as its private land. He has benefited from it, but has never registered an easement. There's no actual legal requirement for, you know, that to be continued. Our clients are in discussions with the owners of that property about, you know, whether that can continue, you know, if an easement can be made, but at this stage they haven't come to an agreement. So our understanding from the lawyers, you know, my client's lawyers, is that it is a civil matter and it will be pursued, you know, as such. The car park that has been proposed has been designed by the traffic engineer and allows cars to enter and exit in a forward manner. So,
the staff, like we suggested.
Yeah, and also provides a car space for each apartment and 2 car spaces for the commercial. Mm. So, redesigning that, I don't know. There is an option perhaps to provide a splay and cantilevering the building above, you know, just kind of splaying part of that corner, but that's something that needs to be negotiated with the neighbours.
Subject to an easement.
And then Ms. Walker in number 114. So the party wall, there's actually proposed to be a new wall built on our property, on the inside of that party wall. So not relying on that party wall at all. So we've had...
Oh, Chair, that's just over 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proceed. We want to know what's going on.
Okay, so we've had a structural engineer look at that and give us ideas of how that can occur. But it can actually be built without reliance on the party wall to number 114. In terms of the right-of-way and access during construction, the builders here assure me that that's possible to retain access. Once the building is built, of course, there's no disruption to the access at all. The builders are very conscious that these guys next door are their neighbours, and they want, you know, they're happy to keep things as good as possible, and they will do everything within their means to not block that during construction.
Preserve as well when it's finished.
Yeah, and at the end of it is preserve.
Mm.
What else was there on there? That was mainly the right of way.
Yeah.
The solar access. So, that was Mr. Rodriguez as well. So solar access, there's no change to the solar access to the to his backyard, and our shadows show that, and they've been done correctly. They've been built in a 3D model and projected, and similarly to 114, the shadows were considered appropriate by the planners for that site.
All right, any questions, panel?
Yeah.
Panel?
I suppose then you, in terms of construction management plan, you'd be prepared to say, I mean, given that nobody seems to own it, it's no man's land, the right of way, a bit tricky, but there'd be access wouldn't be denied during construction.
No, that's correct. The builders would be prepared.
I mean, it couldn't be given the terms of the right of way.
Yep. No, that's right.
Okay, and just in terms of with eight units and the parking, I was just trying to think on the private right-of-way whether in fact you'd need a light to indicate when it's safe for your residents to exit onto that right-of-way, which can easily be done.
Right.
And that you would have no objection
no.
to that.
No.
And convex
mirrors
and such. Yeah. Absolutely.
To be honest, it's been, you know, it is a mechanic at the moment, and there is a lot of in and outs by cars currently.
Mm.
But the new residents wouldn't necessarily be aware of the current situation, and they would be have an expectation that perhaps they have free use of it. Yeah. I don't know.
That's an easy thing.
It does present as a rear lane. It doesn't present as someone's, you know, private property. It feels like a lane.
Mm. Mm. So at the end of the day, I wonder who's responsible for maintaining it.
It's a very good question. Everybody who wants to use it, I think.
We've all been. We've been tarring it in the past. We weed it. We feed it, we look after it, we just do that. In regards to the lighting part, I know on page, I don't have the page here, number 5 in the assessment, that's right, page 731, it does have in highlighted in blue, however, it is noted that the development would reduce solar access to 3 openings at the ground floor and result in a non-compliance under this clause. So, I'm not sure.
I suppose another question about that is, I mean, this area is zoned for shop-top housing, which generally doesn't allow apartments on the ground floor of commercial areas anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a building and we've had this for 100 years, so we don't want to demolish it and start again and do what you're doing. We'd like to maintain what we have without losing value, losing residents, quality of life, things like that.
All right. Any other comments?
Lisa, did you have a question about the presentation from a heritage point of view?
Yes, I do. But I've also got a question about that, the solar access. Are your residences above the plumbing?
We've got three
business?
Residents. Well, there's the business at the front, one resident above. Then at the back behind the business between the workshop and the shop front is another residence with one studio above that. So that's the three. One above the shop, one above the bottom flat, and then the workshop.
Okay.
And they all have those windows that we're talking about in that courtyard are living rooms, bedrooms.
So solar access is made. There is some reduction to solar access, but there is also access is maintained for some of the time in midwinter. But as you can appreciate, we're in a business zone. It's difficult to maintain solar access to residences on the ground floor of the neighbours.
It is combined. It's a mixed development we have, so what do we do?
Vanessa, I've got some questions about the presentation of the front facade.
Yeah.
There's a proposed condition of consent around the colours.
Yeah.
We do want to see the colours change to more traditional colours.
Yeah,
we're happy to do that.
But there's a couple of other things that we'd like to see happen if you're amenable to it. That's that the parapet details be reinstated based on historic evidence.
We've looked for some historic evidence, though we did have a heritage impact statement done by some heritage architects.
Yes.
We've found a few photos. We haven't found any more detail than what is there now, but we will keep looking. But council doesn't have anything, and you know, the heritage, we haven't managed to find much more.
Okay, but you don't object to us putting on that condition, and then you can satisfy the condition by saying that, you know, perhaps you haven't found that information, but this is what it's like.
Absolutely. We'll keep looking for more photos. It's not such an interesting building that many people have taken many photos of it.
No, I mean, it's very basic, I agree. The other thing that we were going to suggest through condition was that the glazed doors on either side of the new shop front doors at the glazed panels on either side, rather than go to the ground, that's similar to number 114, I think it is, that they have a sill height of around 600 millimetres. It would be...
We've got some already,
we've shown that, but yes.
We can bring that up.
That's easy.
That's fine. Yeah.
We have actually shown...
I think we're looking for something a little higher than what's shown on the elevation.
Okay. That's totally fine.
That works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other comments?
I just have a matter of very quick, brief response to the point made by the applicant's architect in relation to a possible setback and a cantilever. The setback sought by my client is a setback of only the parking level. My client would not have any principal objection to a cantilever for the balance of the levels. Thank you.
All right. Just by the way, I can tell you what the legal position is regarding maintenance of the right-of-way. The common law says that where you have a situation like this, the cost of maintenance and repair of the right-of-way must be borne equitably by those who have the benefit of the right-of-way. Okay. So there you are. There's a bit of free legal advice for you.
Thank you.
And Chair, does that apply if you know who even owns the land?
It applies everyone, even if there is a particular property owner who owns it, those who have the benefit of the right of way must bear the cost of maintenance and repair equitably.
Very good.
Very interesting.
That's the common law position.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, any other questions or comments while we have you all on board?
Yes, sorry. I'm really Roger this again. I remark Andrew Sweeney, the lady, commented that the impact would be minimal. If she could just clarify when she said that the impact would be minimal.
Yeah, that'll be in there, yeah.
Anyone?
I refer to the architects that said that the impact would be minimal.
You mean in terms of the noise? Okay, well, I suppose in terms of noise, your property doesn't have any opening windows to that right of way other than a small bathroom window.
A base issue of shadow. Yeah.
Oh, the shadow. So, well, our shadow diagrams don't show any additional shadowing on your backyard.
Yeah. And that was the council to go back in.
So council has assessed that. We've drawn 3D models and cast the shadows and there aren't additional shadows. The shadows are occurring from the workshop in the back of Trinda.
All right, anything else? If not, we can conclude this matter.
Thank you.
And we will go away and consider it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your attendance.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, that being the final matter, we can close the public meeting and the panel members will stay online to determine each application formally.